The mobile tabernacle.
Huh?
So the movable tabernacle. Is
yeah,
what,
exactly. Yeah.
Just like the Jews had.
Won't it be wonderful when it's not just words on a page? It's written by the nature of Jesus Christ in your heart. And anyway, after this front end loader carried the cow off in my Bible, I had this big old baby boy in my arms, and I went and got on an escalator. And next to me on the escalator was this a woman with a normal sized baby boy. We were side by side on this escalator. And the Lord revealed to me that an escalator is talking about the rest. Because you don't have to work to climb an escalator. You just rest and it carries you. The days that are coming are going to be very much entering into the rest of God. God's power is going to do everything. You see, it's going to be less of us and more of Him. Won't that be great, you know? More and more of God and less of us. The rest of God. But anyway, she looked at the baby boy I was carrying, and she said, "Boy, that looks like a real baby boy." And I kind of glanced over at him carrying off that old cow, and I thought, "Yeah, I wonder how that's possible," because this baby boy had been born from that cow. Even now, folks, even in our own experience, even some of the people that are joining us here on the internet, you're coming out of that old cow, and me too. You know, praise be to God, and God's delivering us from the corrupt institutions and thinking of men. And He's writing the Word upon our heart. I think that kind of fits together pretty neatly. You know, He's writing the Word upon our heart, the real Word upon our heart. And the scene changed. And I saw myself walking into a room with all the famous ministers in this room. And at least I recognized a lot of real famous ministers in America in this room. And Jimmy Swaggart actually walked over to me and handed me some papers. And when he did, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Now, this is years ago. This is no reflection on who Jimmy Swaggart is today. But this happened years ago. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, this is his propaganda about what he has accomplished. And at the time I thought, you know, I think that Jimmy really thought that he was irreplaceable because he was being used mightily of the Lord to bring souls into the kingdom. He had an evangelistic anointing upon him, not a teacher's anointing, but an evangelistic anointing. And he could say just a few words and bring lots of souls to the altar, you know, to come into the kingdom. But anyway, I think he thought that he was irreplaceable, and that's why the Lord spoke this to me, that this is propaganda about what he thinks he has accomplished. And the Lord was showing me that this whole generation of ministry was like the bulls of Bashan, who had sown their own seed in the cow. You know, and obviously, we read earlier in Luke chapter 1 how that Mary, virgin birth, the Son of God, who was to sit on David's throne. Well, God's fixing to do that again, folks. You realize that the man-child is virgin birth. He's not brought forth by the seed of man, but by the seed of God, which is the Word of God, the sperma of God. It's called the seed of God, the Word of God. See, Matthew chapter 13. This man-child is virgin birth. And he's in a body of the seed of David. You see? So God's just repeating history. Jesus is actually coming again to be manifested in the flesh again. Personally? No, not personally. He's coming in the air, just like the Bible says. But he's coming first in his people, to be manifested in his people. Because God is going to prove the power of his salvation. And like he told me many years ago, he has many Davids in these days. Many Davids. And he's going to be manifested in them. Just like Jesus sat on the throne of David. So Jesus is coming to sit on the throne, all right. It's the throne of the hearts of his people. I don't know if I shared this with you, but at least two brothers shared something with me that the Lord had revealed to them. And I don't know. I'm waiting to see if it's really going to happen or not. But on December the 12th, one of them said that the Lord had spoke to him that the Lord was coming to sit on his throne. And I thought, oh, that sounds exactly like what the Lord has shown me about the Lord sitting on the throne of David. That the Lord is actually coming to be enthroned upon the hearts of the people who are the first fruits to manifest Him. The Lord is coming to rule in a temple that He is the owner of. And the first fruits people who are members of the body of that temple, you know, are the first fruits man-child ministry. So I don't know if it's going to happen on December the 12th or not. It may happen on some December the 12th, but it was obvious that they believed it was this December the 12th. Could be. That'd be very nice. Be wonderful, because we do need Jesus on this earth. And He is coming, manifested in His people. I mean, the very way that Rex and his brethren were walking there in that wilderness, you know, with the power of God, the provision of God, the faith, the courage of God, you know, God's going to change things, folks. We're not going to be the people that we were. And God's power is going to cause us to move as a body. We are going to become a body of believers and move as an individual body of Christ to bring to pass His work and His will in the earth. And won't it be wonderful? I can't wait. Praise be to God. Who else got a question or a testimony?
Well, I got something to tell you. I mean,
oh, right.
As far as all the groups in the Christianity thing on Power Talk, we have the most people in there now.
We have what?
The most people in there.
Oh, really?
In Christianity.
How many is that?
Oh, now just 44. Oh. We had 65 earlier.
Yeah, 65. That's good.
So the Lord's Word is getting out.
Yeah, Lord's Word is getting out.
We had a lot of people come in today that they started balking and started writing me, what is the speaker talking about? Who is this? And they stayed and listened. And I think it's awesome how God reveals the truth to people.
Yeah, maybe some of you who are coming in, you know, don't have the foundation of what we've been talking about. And that's kind of hard to come into the middle of a conversation, you know. I realize that. And sometimes you have an awful lot of questions, but... I can tell you that we respect the Word of God here. It's very precious to us and very powerful, and we're expecting it. We're expecting it to be fulfilled in a greater and greater way in these end times, and we're expecting the gospel to be fulfilled. That God's people are going to be perfected through faith in the promises, and the good news is just too great to share all in just a moment. But anyway, we believe that the gospel is going to be fulfilled. The good news of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And what I was just talking about is the man-child in Revelation 12 is going to have a ministry just like Jesus' ministry. And actually, the Lord told me many years ago that everything that happened in the Gospels and in the book of Acts was going to happen again in these end times. Except that the cast of characters is going to be multiplied many times over. And as you know, Jesus and the man-child of Revelation 12 look very, very similar. The only thing is, they're not one and the same. Jesus left an individual body in order to come back in a corporate body in order to carry on the ministry that he had in that individual body. Because obviously he couldn't reach the world that way. And so in these days, folks, the first fruits, what they're called, the first fruits, the man-child in Revelation 12, are going to be the first to manifest Christ. It'll be Christ in a body, all right, but it doesn't really matter about the flesh that Jesus walks in. You understand? Whether it's the flesh that came through Mary or your flesh. Because Jesus was called Emmanuel. That is God with us. And he's still with us. He's not up there in heaven somewhere. He's with us. He's abiding in us. You know, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So as the Word of God is being manifested in us, Christ is being manifested in us. And the last 7 years is going to be the most powerful time that God's going to manifest Himself in His man-child and in His two witnesses and in those that are alive and remain and the saints in general. He's going to bear fruit. The last 7 days in which God's people were in Egypt was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when God shared the real truth of His message with His people, spiritually speaking. And the last 7 days that God's people are on the earth, God's going to do just that. He's going to reveal the truth that's going to set the captives free, open the prison to them that are bound, and so on and so forth. The same message that Jesus had from Isaiah 61, that powerful anointing that came upon Him, is going to come upon the end time ministers of God. And that was the former rain that Jesus received, but it's the latter rain that the ministers in these days are going to receive. Well, Jesus, in a larger body, is going to raise up a larger body of witnesses, a larger body of disciples, who are, just as we talked about, they're going to go out two by two, just exactly like the first time. Everything that's written in the Gospels and in the book of Acts is a prophecy of the end time. Hear what I'm saying now, because it will open your mind with an explosion of knowledge the more you think on it. What happened in the Gospels and in the book of Acts was a type and a shadow of the same movement happening worldwide. That's why in Revelation 12 a lot of people think that that's Jesus over there, born of the Virgin Mary. But it's not. Because actually, in Revelation 4 and 1, God tells John, come up hither and I'm going to show you the things that are going to come to pass hereafter. And that was in something like 96 A.D., long time after Jesus, you see. He was showing him a revelation of the end times, when Jesus was going to come again, like a baby born to a woman. Which is what he said in John 16. He said, you're going to see me again. He said, a little while you won't see me, but then another little while you're going to see me again. And then he spoke of the disciples as being a woman who was going to bring forth a man-child that was himself. Interesting. You know, we're all pregnant with Christ. He that doeth the will of my Father is my mother, Jesus said. We're all pregnant with Christ. We've received the seed of the Word of God in our heart. And as we nourish that seed and humble ourselves to it and give in to it, that seed will continue to mature and bear the fruit of Jesus Christ in us. It's very important that we don't just sit under religion. It's very important that we humble ourselves to the Word of God, because the Word of God is Jesus Christ. And if you want Jesus Christ in you, the Word of God's got to be in you. Not just the Word revealed by carnal minds, but the Word revealed by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit has hidden these things from the wise and prudent, but He's revealed it unto babes. In Jesus' day, He revealed it unto those unlearned and ignorant men, they were called in the book of Acts. He didn't reveal it through the very knowledgeable, educated Pharisees and Sadducees who had been through the Bible schools and everything. He picked out these ignorant men to show that His power was made perfect in weakness. And in these days, it's going to be the same way. You know, the first man-child, Jesus, in the New Testament, he wasn't born in the king's palace, was he? No, he was born in a manger, you know, with animals around and so on and so forth, you know. In a very meager surroundings. He was the king of everything, and yet he was born in these very meager surroundings. And it's interesting, in these end times, folks, I want to tell you that God is going to raise up the most powerful move of the Spirit in very meager surroundings. Nothing like the fancy temples that a lot of churches build, or other very rich surroundings that people think that the wise ministers come from. God's raising up ministers that are nobodies. They've never been heard of. They haven't gone to the Bible schools and so on and so forth, like the Pharisees and Sadducees. These disciples, I mean, only one did he pick that was a theologian, and he had to renew his mind. He had to basically take it all away from him. Paul even counted it all as dumb, he said, you know, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, right? He had to throw it all out and start over, basically. And, yeah, Terry?
Jean has, we were talking, her husband's suffering with some back pain right now.
Uh-huh.
And he's been discouraged because he's already believed he would be healed and he hasn't. And I just really feel led that we just need to pray for him. His name is John.
Okay.
The Lord would just draw him, grant him, take away the pain. Coming to, he's, you know, trying to, he's going to man's methods of, you know, taking away the pain.
Uh-huh.
And she says she's going to start reading the book to him, your book to him about God's sovereignty over it.
Well, very good.
That was a curse.
Let's pray for him that the Lord would give him a gift of faith to receive this from God, you know.
And walk in it.
Yeah. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, by grace have we been saved through faith, and that's not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, Lord, we know that that salvation for the body is no different than salvation from the soul. It's by faith, and it's through grace, and it's not by man's works, just as you proved to us in the Gospels when you healed the sick. It wasn't by man's works or man's methods. It was by grace, so that no man could boast. And so it is today, Lord. It is freely given. Healing comes from you freely, and for all that believe. But Lord, you said in Ephesians 2 and 8 that even that faith was not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. So Lord, we're asking you to put that gift in John, Lord, and Jean. Put that gift of faith in them, Father, to receive this healing for the glory of God. And because John, being a believer, is not under the curse, Galatians 3 and 13 says that Jesus became cursed for us that we might have Abraham's blessings. And 1 Peter 2:24 says that by his stripes we were healed. So God, because Jesus bore the stripes for John, we claim this gift of healing for him. And Lord, we know that you've said, be it unto you according to your faith. And as you have believed, so shall it be unto you. We know that John should believe. And Jean should believe for him. And we can agree with them. Because you said, if any two agree as touching anything, it shall be done by our Father in heaven. Now, Lord, we agree today that you're going to put this gift of faith in John, Father. And we're proclaiming and we're accepting this healing too, Lord. Even though we don't see it with our eyes now, we accept it as your free gift. Because you said, by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. It's an accomplished fact. It was accomplished at the cross. And just as you forgave John all of his iniquities, in Psalm 103 you say, you forgive all of our iniquities and you heal all of our diseases. And Lord, we claim that for John right now. The pain is gone. The back is restored. He's healed. And the power of God is in his body right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you for renewing his mind. We thank you for giving him clear understanding of faith and how it works. And we just receive this gift right now in the name of Jesus. You said, if any two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done by our Father in heaven. So we all put our faith together to agree today. John is healed. He is blessed. His understanding is blessed. His faith is blessed. Lord, we thank you for it. And we rebuke discouragement, doubt, unbelief. We rebuke it from him in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for giving him your faith. We know that Jesus made reconciliation for us, and that reconciliation was that he took our unbelief and he gave us his faith. Reconciliation meaning exchange. We know that we were crucified with him, and now he lives in us. And that's an exchange. Since he lives in us, we have the faith of Jesus Christ. Reconciliation has been made. Our unbelief is on the cross, and the faith of Jesus is in our hearts. We, like Paul, call the things that be not as though they were, and we reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. And we profess with him that it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So we know that we have the faith of the Son of God because of what he did at the cross. We thank you for that gift, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do we have another question there? Or a comment, revelation, testimony?
Nothing so far.
Okay.
Well, yeah, someone was asking if this can be posted to the website.
I suppose so. I think that's a good idea. We can do that. Help me to remember a good name for it, Terry, so we can stick it on there. We have some wonderful brethren are working on a whole bunch of streaming audios to put on our website right now. We're about to load it down here pretty quick. Pray for my son, Justin. He gets enough time to do some of the uploading and stuff he needs to do, too. So.
And here's another question. What is the significance of December 12th?
it's the Feast of Dedication, but I don't really know. I tell you, I've been expecting the possibility that the man-child is going to come forth sometime between here and the end of 2006. That's not a thus saith the Lord. That's just me, and sometimes I'm wrong. But I'm expecting it's a possibility that the tribulation could start in the end of 2006. I do know that the man-child is born and starts his ministry about the time that the tribulation starts. So the man-child could be being birthed and growing up and getting ready to be manifested. When I say birthed and growing up, I'm talking about the manifestation of Jesus as he was when he started his ministry. This is the wisdom that God's going to put in some people on this earth to minister for Christ. They're going to have the same signs, wonders, and miracles, wisdom, word of knowledge, gifts that Jesus had.
Greater than, according to Scripture.
Yeah, he said, greater things than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father. And folks, he's definitely going to bring that to pass. Yeah, Kurt?
Terry and I were sitting out in the vehicle last night in front of where he lives, and we were discussing faith. You remember how we were talking about it, Terry?
Not faith. We were discussing what imagination.
Imagination. I'm sorry. And he had made a comment that there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that was has been. You know that scripture.
Everything that we what you were asking me is what is a thought? What is imagination? And I said that everything that we imagine is something that we have seen somewhere that the Lord has brought to us. That the images we see are something we have actually seen somewhere.
Well, faith is the hope of things, or the imagination of things that are hoped for and not yet seen. That all is I was just thinking here that all of that's included and really the same thing. You've got to imagine your healing, like this man that we prayed for. You've got to imagine your deliverance, like we've talked about it. Imagination is a thought or a vision or an understanding of something like someone that how the automobiles came into existence, or the skyscrapers, you know, mm-hmm. built.
And you think about as we're told from the scriptures that on this day I give you both a blessing and a curse. Well, imagination is no different than that. You can use the imagination as it was to be an evil imagination where God destroyed the earth with flood because of their evil imaginations. Or you can use an imagination to bring forth the faith that can manifest Christ in you, or even righteousness, according to the scriptures, as Abraham was accounted righteous by that faith. So we can use the imagination as both a blessing and a curse, and that's pretty obvious because the scripture shows us that.
Well, one imagination the Bible commands us to have is to behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord, so we can be transformed into the same image from glory to glory. We need to imagine that we are the body of Christ. And that's a renewed imagination, that we are the body of the Jesus Christ and that He lives in us. For the people who walk in that faith, God is able to bring it to pass. And the man-child ministry that we were talking about a minute ago, being manifested in the beginning of the tribulation, is just exactly like the ministry that Jesus did in the beginning of their tribulation. You see, Jesus came and ministered for 3.5 years, just like the man-child in Revelation 12 is coming to minister for 3.5 years to the woman, which is the church. So, basically, God's just repeating history because that's what the Bible says He will do. The things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. So when you ask, what's the significance of December the 12th? I'm not really sure. I got a couple of revelations from two different brethren. That one of them said he felt like a supernatural ministry was going to start for him on December the 12th. He felt like the Lord told him that. And another one was told that the Lord was going to come and sit on His throne on December the 12th. Well, it meant something to me. And I knew it didn't mean anything necessarily to this brother. But, I mean, it didn't mean that that the Lord was physically coming to sit on the throne. But to me, I'd already received a revelation that the Lord was coming to rule in a body of people that He calls the man-child. He was coming to manifest Himself in them and to do the works on this earth that He had done before. So, basically, when the tribulation starts, Jesus' ministry is going to start again. And a lot of folks don't know this. But I'm looking forward to it very much because I know what the Lord has told me, that there's going to be 3.5 years of this ministry and then 3.5 years of a two-witness ministry. That Jesus, by the way, raised up a two-witness ministry. The disciples said that we are His witnesses. They said it over and over through the book of Acts and in the end of the Gospels that they were His witnesses. And yet He sent them out two by two. And that's what Rex revealed in this vision he shared today, and what Bob revealed in a vision that he had about them going out two by two. And basically the man-child is going to raise up just such a ministry that's going to go throughout the earth. It's a worldwide ministry, not just in Jerusalem as some people think. Because actually they preach on the streets of the great city, which the Bible says is Babylon, not Jerusalem. So God's hidden these things from the wise and prudent, but He's revealed them unto babes. And I think it's the first conference, you might put that up there, Terry, for some of the people that want to understand what we're talking about today. The first conference on our streaming audio I forget what the name of it is, but it's at the bottom there. What do they call it, Terry, on the site?
Fall of America, Rise of the Saints?
No.
The first conference?
Streaming End Time Prophecy Conference audios and videos. And the first one was End Times Prophecy Conference. And there I talk about the man-child ministry and the two-witness ministry and several revelations that the Lord spoke to me through the Word of Knowledge over the last 30 years of what He was going to do in these days. And we're on the verge of an awesome breakthrough of the kingdom of God on earth. And it's going to be manifested first in the man-child and then in the two witnesses and from there to the people in general, the people of God in general. And it's going to be a great time of signs and wonders and miracles and provisions from God. Miracles like we're seeing in Jesus' day, like we're seeing in Moses' day. Because Moses was a man-child in his day, you see. Been many man-childs, like we're seeing in Joseph's day. He was a man-child too. So all these types and shadows of the man-child back through the Bible, they're all going to be fulfilled in these days. Because each one of them gives us a different aspect or a partial aspect of what this end-time ministry is going to be like. And for the people that recognize Jesus for who He really is in these days, they're going to recognize Him in this body of people. Now, we're not taking anything away from Jesus coming. We know He's coming. He's not coming pre-tribulation because He never has in Scripture. He's always come at the end. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. But in the Scripture, God's people have never flown away before their wilderness tribulation. Israel didn't do it. Never. Every time there was a beast kingdom coming, they didn't escape it. They've never escaped it. Because every time God raised up a beast kingdom, and He's done it six times, major times in history, many lesser times, six major times in history with Egypt and Assyria and Babylon and Media-Persia and Greece and Rome. Every time He's done it, God's people have gone through it. They've never, ever flown away. And the purpose is that God raises the beasts up to persecute the people of God who are in rebellion against the Word of God. They're doing their own thing. They're not disciples. They're not carrying on the Great Commission. They don't have any interest to. They're just waiting to fly away. They're not being obedient. And so they've justified their doctrines. They've justified their actions. They've justified their selfish, sinful life. And basically, it's going to take a crucifixion. And that's what the beast has always been raised up for, is a crucifixion for God's people. And the things that have been are the things that shall be. So therefore, if God departs from history, He's breaking His word. Because He says the things that have been are the things that shall be. So basically, God's about to repeat what happened in Jesus and the apostles' day. That's what He told me many, many years ago. And the more you think on the Gospels and the wonderful things that happened there and the book of Acts and the wonderful things that happened there, those are the things that are going to be repeated around the world and even greater than that. So it's a great encouragement to read those things and to see the power and the joy, even through the book of Acts when there was persecution and tribulation, the great power and the joy that was upon the disciples and the miracles and the multitudes of the saints that were coming into the kingdom, multitudes of the people who were coming in to be saints in the kingdom, excuse me. We've got great things coming, folks. I'm a little overjoyed to live in this time. Not at all afraid, and you shouldn't be either. Like Rex was saying, they weren't afraid. They were bold and had plenty of faith, and they we're happy to do the work of God, happy to see people come into the kingdom. They obviously didn't fly away in His revelation. Some of the saints died, were martyred, and were taken to heaven. And others, I suspect what Rex was showing me, that he and the group that he was with there were enduring all the way through this thing. Obviously after he saw saints, multitudes of saints going up into the kingdom, they were there on earth ministering. Do you know that towards the end, God's going to preserve a group of people that are just not going to die no matter what. They are just not going to die. They're going to be alive and remaining to the coming of the Lord. God's going to protect them. They're going to preach the gospel. And they're just not going to die.
I was really impressed with something that you guys were talking about in his dream about how that they were in one mind and one accord.
Yeah.
They moved at the same time. That really impressed me. Because that's what the body's lacking right now. You know, everybody's caught up in the flesh and struggling with this or struggling with that. And there's a lot of prayers, you know, about in the Bible study online and here too, that I've noticed that a lot of struggles, a lot of things God's trying to move people through and out of and beyond to get us to that place where we're in one mind and one accord and we're ready to move with the Holy Spirit.
Jesus said, "They shall be one flock with one shepherd." That's exactly what's going to happen. That had never been fulfilled, folks. I mean, wolves came in to divide the flock, but God's going to restore the flock. There's going to be peace among all the people that are disciples of Jesus Christ. You see, what Jesus did when He came as the man-child is He came to make one flock. And those disciples that followed Him, they followed Him out of all the denominations of Judaism. And they became one, peaceful with one another, moving as one body. And the man-child's ministry is going to do the exact same things, folks. There are going to be people flocking out of the denominations of apostate Christianity to follow this new leadership that God is raising up. And the new leadership is Christ being manifested in some people. You know, He said, "He that overcometh, I will give authority." You know, the Lord gives authority, not to people who have an education, but to people who are bearing the fruit of Jesus Christ. That's who He gives authority to. Bible colleges give certificates to people that pass their course and answer the questions the way they want them answered. That's not authority, folks. That's kind of coming up another way. That's what Jesus called it in His day. They didn't go through the door. They came up another way. Well, you have to go through the door, which is going through Christ. See? And the Lord's raising up a ministry in these days that's full of fruit, full of gifts, and manifesting Jesus Christ. And this is where the miracles and the signs and wonders are going to come to confirm the work of Christ. And again, the Pharisees and Sadducees are going to be without the power of God. You have a question there, Terry?
On your tape, you say that the church fell into apostasy 2,000 years ago. How can that be when there have been Christians around for the last 2,000 years? The Bible says He left Himself not without witness.
Right.
Some fell away into apostasy, but others continued in the kingdom.
Yes. Well, the church as a whole fell away 2,000 years ago. They left the power. They left the Holy Spirit. They left the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They fell into pretty much what was called the Dark Ages. But like you say, the Lord has never left Himself without a witness. I mean, all the way through the Dark Ages, as a matter of fact, there were groups of people who still believed in the full gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Waldenses and the Moravians and the... there was a couple of tribes there that bumped into John and Charles Wesley, you know, that were Spirit-filled people, spoke in tongues, and had the gifts of the Spirit. You know, people thought that was only just beginning to be restored back in the beginning of the 1900s. That's not true, folks. There's always been a thread all the way back of people that walked in it. But in general, as a whole, there was a great falling away, just like the Bible says. And that's why God had to raise up reformers to restore the church to things that had been stolen from them. Remember what the former rain and the latter rain were for. According to Joel, they were to restore everything that had been taken away from his crop. Well, if the former rain was enough, why did God pronounce in the latter days that there would be a latter rain? You see, he says after 2,000 years, on the morning of the third day, the latter rain would come. Hosea 6, 2 and 3. Well, that's where we are now. We're on the morning of the third day. The morning of the third thousand year day after Jesus. And here's where the latter rain is going to come. Well, if the latter rain is to restore all things, what's it restoring us from? Apostasy. Apostasy is the word meaning fallen away. Well, the church has fallen away. It's given in to men who rule over dead religions with their mind instead of the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and all these things. And of course, you got the apostates out there that are saying that all these things passed away with the apostles. Another lie. That's one reason we have a falling away, is because people like that, who have no knowledge of the Lord and His ways, who are raised up in Bible colleges, come out and justify the people with their false doctrine, and they don't even expect God to give them the gifts in the book of Acts, to move through them in power, to heal their bodies, and to deliver them from demonic possessions, and so on and so forth. They don't expect that. So there's been a falling away, basically because wolves came in and divided up the flock, like Paul said, after their own ways, and deceived the people who felt all right in being justified in the false doctrine because it permitted them to live a kind of life that they wanted to live. So nobody's really justified in this. But that there's been a falling away, hey, you just have to read the Bible one time to figure that out. There's been a great falling away since the time of the apostles. And God is going to restore, because now we're on the morning of the third day when the latter rain is going to what? Restore all things. That's what Joel said. Restore all things. Restore from what? From the great falling away. And it's going to be wonderful, because we're going to see the same things that happened in the Gospels and in the book of Acts again. Of course, there's been people receiving healing and deliverance and miracles. But in general, about 95% of the body, or maybe worse, has never even entered into the full gospel. They've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidences of the gifts, like they were in the book of Acts. Did you notice that all believers in the book of Acts got filled with the Holy Spirit and received the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the power of God moved through them? Supernatural signs and wonders moved through them. And today, what percentage of Christianity receives that? So there's been a great falling away. Now, if the knowledge that you have is the knowledge that you receive in some of the churches, you might look around you and say, what falling away? Yeah, that's true, but you don't understand what God provided. What God provided is exactly what He gave in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. He never wanted us to depart from that. The only reason we did is because men ruling over religions captured God's people in their Babylonish religious systems and talked them into believing a powerless gospel. If they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof, from such turn away. If you go into a church and they've got no power to heal the sick, to cast out devils, to do the signs and wonders, guess what? That's not a church. That's just another dead religion. The truth is, Jesus said, these signs will accompany them that believe. And Mark 16, he mentions healing the sick, casting out devils, speaking in tongues, all these things. And John 14 and 12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. So you see, believers do the works of Jesus. Well, that tells you right there has been a great falling away. Because since the time of the apostles, believers have been what men described as believers, not what God described as believers. And they departed from the the covenant that was given and the commands of the Great Commission that was given. See, Jesus didn't just send them out there to talk about Him. He sent them out there to share the real gospel, confirmed with signs and wonders. So who's obeying the Great Commission in these days? You see, there's been a great falling away, and God's going to restore everything that's been taken away from His people. Read Joel chapter 2. Everything that the palm worm, the canker worm, well, that's a parable. It's a parable of God's crop being plundered by the curse that's upon it, being eaten up, being devoured by the curse. And what God said in Joel chapter 2 is He's going to restore everything that's been taken away from His crop. Well, if He has to restore it, it must have been taken away, right? Been devoured, right? Well, these are the days, Hosea 6, 1, 2, and 3. These are the days when the Lord's going to return to His people and restore these things. Look in Hosea chapter 5. In verse 15, the Lord says, I will go and return unto my place until they acknowledge their offense and seek my face, and in their affliction, which is tribulation, folks, they will seek me earnestly. Hosea 6 and 1, come and let us return unto the Lord. Well, obviously they fell away, right? For He hath torn, and He will heal us. He hath smitten, and He will bind us up. After 2 days, which is where we are now, or 2 days, or 2,000 years after Jesus, right? After 2 days, He will revive us, and on the third day, He will raise us up, and we shall live before Him. Let us know, let us follow on to know the Lord, for His going forth is as sure as the morning. He will come unto us, listen to this, He will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. Now He said after 2 days, on the morning of the third day, He was going to come to us as the latter rain. Well, now Jesus came as the former rain, because He received the former rain of the Spirit, taught His disciples for 3.5 years, breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. 10 days later, it came as a rushing mighty wind and filled those people. They all spake with tongues, started manifesting gifts and supernatural signs and wonders and healings and miracles and so on and so forth. And now it says, He's left the church for basically 2,000 years because of stubbornness and rebellion, but He's going to return on the morning of the third day as the latter rain. Well, now, if He came the first time in the body of the Son of David, because He was both Son of Man and Son of God, and He says in John 16 that the next time He comes, He's coming again as a little baby born to a woman. Then you read over in Revelation 12, the little baby born to a woman is the man-child. But the man-child's ministry is the latter rain, not the former rain. You see, Jesus is coming again to restore what's been plundered from His church, a great backslidden body of people. And the latter rain, according to Joel, in chapter 2, verse 23, be glad then, ye children of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for He giveth you the former rain in just measure. He causeth to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat. The vat shall overflow with new wine and oil. This is fruit, folks. This is something very valuable that's about to happen. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palm worm, my great army, which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and shall praise the name of the Lord your God, that dealeth wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. So God's going to restore everything all those years have taken away. And the false prophets who have led God's people all those years and taken away, they said all passed away with the apostles. Pure apostasy. Pure lies to God's people. Read the Bible, folks. You have to have a Bible for whatever you say and for whatever you believe. You have to have a Bible for that. See? And you won't find their lie in the Bible that it all passed away. Nowhere. See? It did pass away for the liars and the people that listened to them. It did pass away. But not because of God, but because they turned away from God. See? Now God's going to restore it. The fact that He has to restore it is not His fault. That's our fault. Because we should have never left it in the first place. It was called the Eternal Covenant in Hebrews 13. But these men changed the covenant in the midstream, which only apostates do, you see. So now we're going to return to what's ours. God's going to return to us what's ours. And we were never meant to live the Christian life. God meant to live it in us. But without the gospel and without the power of the Holy Spirit, that just doesn't happen. Like Rex's testimony today, it was wondrous testimony. That's the kind of power we're going to see. Supernatural power. He said, just like Jesus who passed through their midst, they couldn't kill Him. Well, that's what happened to Rex and his brethren there in that vision. Passed right through the midst. They couldn't catch Him. Didn't see Him. Didn't know what they were doing. Many great wonders and miracles are going to come forth because God's people, once again, will believe the Word of God. I challenge every one of you that hadn't done this, do it for yourself. Put aside all your preconceived ideas. Start reading the New Testament. Believe everything you read. Everything you read. It will be a new book to you. Don't listen to what you've been told. Believe what it says. Question everything that you've been told. Question everything. If they say it passed away, find the verse. I've talked to many people who said that over the years. And you know what? They've never been able to point out a verse that made any sense to them or to me. Never. Because it's just a lie. They are the wolves that divided the flock and carried them away into captivity. They are like Israel who rebelled against God and was carried into Babylon. Into captivity until they repented and God brought them back and restored them to their land. See, we've got a proper place to live. It's the kingdom of God, not worldly religion, not Babylon, see. All of us has to come out of Babylon and go back to Zion and live in the kingdom of God, ruled over by King David, which is Jesus Christ, according to Luke chapter 1. Set up the throne of David again so that He rules over us, right? God is going to repeat history and it's going to be wondrous because we're on the verge of the same things that happened in the beginning of the Gospels. We're going to see that again. And just as it was then, so it's going to be now. The Pharisees are going to fight against it. The Pharisees who say it all passed away with their own doctrines, they're going to fight against it. And they're going to be reprobated. But God's still going to have a people that believes His Word and walks in His Word. Have another question, Terry?
No? We had some. I haven't finished reading it yet. This is supposed to be a prophetic dream about the CrossFest Festival. I haven't finished reading it yet.
Okay. Well, maybe, is that something you can save and read and we can...
I can try.
Okay. Save it and we'll read it. It's getting kind of late, so I tell you what, let's pray. And, you know, if you've come into the room new today, hope you'll be patient with us because, like I said, it's hard to come in the middle of a conversation, especially with some things that you're not familiar with. It's really hard. So we just ask you to be patient with us. And... because the Bible tells us to stay in the unity of the Spirit until we come to the unity of the faith. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you, Lord, to have mercy on all of us, Lord, and lead us and guide us to be restored. Everything that's been taken from us, Lord, what was given in the very beginning is still ours. And you tell us that the only way to abide in Jesus is to have that in us which we heard from the beginning. Lord, do it, Lord, do it. Put the word that was first spoken in our hearts. Let us not depart from it. Let us don't fall under the curse of the end of the book of Revelation by adding to or taking from the word of God. Nor the curse that Paul spoke in Galatians chapter 1 of receiving a different gospel than the one he spoke. Oh Lord, so many of your people have fallen under that curse. We ask, Father, that you restore the knowledge and the understanding to your people. Let them not respect man any longer. Let them know that the Word of God is true, and all of it's true, and it's all still true. Lord, reveal these things to your people. Deliver them from the wolves that are devouring them. And Father, please go with us today. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. We know that even before you pour out the latter rain, you're still pouring out the former rain. Though many reject it, it's there for all of your people to take advantage of. Lord, fill us all with the power of your former rain. And Lord, we invite the power of your latter rain. Because this is the morning of the third day when you said you would return. And return with that latter rain. So Lord, we invite you. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord, and do a quick work in us. Come, Lord, and restore what's been taken from us. What's been devoured, Lord. God, have mercy upon us. Give us your wisdom. Give us your protection. Give your people your wisdom of the things that are coming upon the world, Lord. Many are comforting themselves with the idea that they're going to escape all these things, Lord. But Lord, it's just not true. It's not in the Word of God. Lord, I ask you to lead your people through the Word and show them it's not in the Word of God. So that they will put their trust in you to be Savior through those coming times. So that they will see the value of bearing fruit before these times come. So that they can be even among the first fruits, Lord, that have already gone through their wilderness experience and been prepared to pass on their gifts to the rest of the flock, Lord. God, we love you so much. We thank you. We ask for your mercy. We ask for your understanding. And bless all the brethren, Lord, that have joined us online today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, brother. Come back and join us Sunday night, 7:30. And meanwhile, go to my site that we've built there. We've got a lot of really good brethren that are putting together a site there with a lot of streaming audios and videos and teachings and God bless all our ministers who are doing this and praying for the sick and praying for the needs and giving encouraging words to one another. God's just doing a wonderful thing here. And I know He's preparing us for some really strong chastening that's about to come upon America and the world. So
God bless you, and we'll see you.